You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the cool again, stupid.
I think we're live. All right, everybody, what's good? Welcome to the Cooligans. I know I said last week, I said Alexis would be here this week. And because I thought that's what was going to happen. And that is not what's going to happen because we all saw the announcement. Congratulations, Alexis, who is now part of the CBS Golasso Network. I'm gonna wait till Alexis is here, and there's a lot we need to do because a lot of people were obviously surprised and shocked and very happy. And what we're gonna do is do two things. We'll talk about it on the show about how all of this happened, and we'll also do a Patreon. No cap recap to give everybody like the deets, you know,
the deets, the down low,
to tell you how it all happened. But no, it's something we are incredibly proud of. It is. I say this all the time. You know, we started this podcast in Alexis's kitchen. And you know, just two comedians talking about soccer, and then to get to, you know, we've had a wild couple years, mm-hmm. and then, you know, just recently from being on NBC Premier League broadcast to now Alexis being part of the CBS crew, it's something that we are incredibly just proud of and excited about. And I think it, you know, some people are already asking like, oh, what does this mean for the cooling? Is all the cooling is over? No, that is not the case. No matter how much these companies that are paying us money try to break us up. No. It's something to be really excited about. And I think the future of the Cooligans is only going to just continue to grow. So with that said, since Alexis is not here today, as always, I'm joined by our producer, Miguelito.
Yo, yo. What's up, everybody? How we doing?
Mike Malley coming through. But we have a special guest co-host today. We've had a couple subs come in. They've been crushing it, and I expect nothing less from this man either. You've literally one of my favorite stand-up comics, one of my favorite teammates. We play on Cooligans FC together. Great dude, hilarious. You've seen him on Conan, right? Mm-hmm. What else?
Corden, Fallon, Comedy Central.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Everybody give it up for Andy Haynes.
Feels good to be here. I think you guys made a good move from a Cuban guy from New Jersey to a basically ethnically just no ethnicity Seattleite. I think it was a smart move.
Okay.
Just a blank slate.
Right. You know, I think it's a look, I'll be honest. I think people tuning in right now can't even tell the difference. All right.
Yeah. Probably not. Probably not.
Usually it's been weird because we've had a bunch of guest co-hosts and people have been like, oh, wow, Alexis is looking great. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which is it really just.
Yeah.
It's an insult towards Alexis.
I mean, I think we should insult him a little bit. He's been gassed up for years, you know, and now it's just been rewarded with just this plush football job. Like, right. It's just, come on, we got to bring him down a couple steps.
That's reckless. That's what the purpose of this show is going to be, okay? To humble this man, you know, so he doesn't forget his roots.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, if you guys need me to step up and just show you that I can speak in Spanish slang, I can do it all.
How much you know about pizza?
You know, I'll be honest. I'm not even going to try to I like look for vegan options. That is the one place yes. where I will disappoint a lot of Are you vegan?
I'm not vegan, but my wife is a nutritionist, and I always look for the healthiest options.
Yeah.
Kind of wherever I go. So I'm like, we're both kind of Alexis's nemesis.
Yeah, I'm one of these people that like, I will buy vegan cheese, but if my wife and I are in Rome, I'm going to eat the cheese.
Same here.
You know, like,
same here.
I'm not.
And I'll
can
be
I
honest,
swear?
You can swear, but I feel like there's some weird new YouTube policy that you can't swear too early.
Oh,
in a video.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to be a jerk and ruin a party.
So let's wait for the swears, okay?
But I was just saying the Spanish thing because somebody said I'm going to leave the show named Andres. Pero vivía en Latino America para por como 6 meses.
Wow.
Entonces fue Andres. I was Andy. Or Andres?
Fue, meaning you were there?
No, but my name was Andres for months.
Oh, your name. Tu nombre era Andres.
Sí, sí. Puedo hablar suficiente en español si necesitas.
Nosotros entendemos.
Sí. Gracias.
You know what? It's better than Alexis' Spanish, I'll be honest.
soy puro chilango.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Crimson Pizza in the chat just said, Christian is taking money from Big Bagel. Have you ever had paleo bagels?
No, but I'm a big fan of like fake bread.
Yeah, dude.
You know, any of that stuff.
I mess with it. Yeah, it's good. It's not a bagel,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, you know, you don't feel as like heavy and bloated as after like a regular bagel. So it's kind
of
nice.
A lot of the things, I feel like I eat a lot of those like keto and paleo things, and I feel like they're like cement in my guts, you know, like
yeah
like it's just because trying to get protein as a vegan, you're just putting, you know, it's like sorcery.
Yeah, you gotta like,
you're putting you like need... space dust into your guts.
You just have IVs and tubes at home, you gotta figure it out. So all right, this is the show about soccer. I promise we will get to all of it. Today is Prem show, so we focus on all things football, European, mm-hmm. You know, European football, because I think sometimes we have some English people or British people or just Europeans in the chat, and mm-hmm. you know, we try to make them feel as welcome as possible. But on Tuesdays when we talk about American soccer, you know, it's all this, it's all that.
Yeah, I don't. To be honest, I'm one of those people that doesn't know anything about American soccer.
We talk about you people from time to time.
Yeah, I think I'm learning a lot. I still, you know, I'm not a big MLS guy.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm coming around to support the lads. You know.
Okay, we got a. Have you been to an NYCFC game?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
I need to go.
You gotta come to one. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I've of course been to many Sounders games.
Of course,
because you know Seattle.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just need to go to more. It's just I'm so spoiled.
I wonder if the Sounders are playing NYCFC here this day, or you know, I don't know if it's at home. East and West only play each other once, and it's in the alternate years. So
oh, okay,
or whatever. So we'll see. Okay, I'll look up the schedule. All right, where to begin? Today, maybe should we start with the serious stuff, Mike?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get right into the serious stuff.
So I'll fill some people in as to what's going on in England in regards to match of the day on the BBC network. Gary Lineker, who is a former player, legendary English player, played a couple clubs. I don't have his CV in front of me, but he was very good. But he got in trouble because of a tweet, and he was talking about a political issue in regards to immigration. And I have the tweet in front of me. I'll get to it in a second. I just want to kind of just frame this. So that's really all that happened. He tweeted something. The people, there was outrage. His employer was like, all right, you're not doing the show. So BBC Match of the Day is a big deal. I've watched clips here and there. But it seems to be like if it's like 60 minutes, but I feel like people take the show a little too seriously.
I mean, it's not, it's no joke. to the, I mean, we don't have anything comparable, I don't think. I mean, I really feel like as far as football goes, it's become so ubiquitous. I mean, it just covers the entire UK, especially the Prem League. And it's like a CNN in the sense, like, you have two morning shows, you have Match of the Day, and you have Soccer AM, which is on, like, every day. Mm-hmm. But this would be the equivalent of kicking a Wolf Blitzer or a Don Lemon off for having a political stance.
Yeah, it's a and I understand. I mean, it's happened before, right? Like, you know, journalists or reporters or pundits tweet something and then they get in trouble and whatever. And again, I'm gonna read the tweet in a moment. I just want to kind of frame the fact that this show is just, I didn't even realize how important this show was to people. As Americans who do not watch this show, the way we consume the Premier League is in the morning, right? Mm-hmm. That's what the first off. And then we have, you know, the Premier League mom, Rebecca Lowe, kind of explain everything to us. And it makes us feel like it's just it's a fun way to get the day started, right?
Yeah.
But for Match of the Day, it like you said, it feels like a much more like proper kind of institution, and the person who is hosting that is somebody that is in everyone's homes, so like Tom Brokaw and like the Walter Cronkite. Like, it just feels like a very important position to have. So what ended up happening after he was kicked off of from his hosting duties this weekend, the other cast or whatever, the other people on the show, Ian Wright, I saw he tweeted out in solidarity that he was not going to be a part of Match of the Day. He even said if Gary Lineker is fired for this or sacked, he he's never going to work for the BBC again.
Right.
So it was cool to see the solidarity and support.
Well, I think it even went beyond that to where the entire league basically said that they would not do any interviews. Yeah. All the players across every team were like, we're not going to do this, you know? And
so you love to see it, right? And Kevincho in the chat just said, wasn't he defending refugees? And yes, that's really all he was doing. And so, look, it's, I mean, what is it? The Tories in England?
The Tories are in power. And they've been in power for, I want to say, like four years, maybe mm-hmm. longer. But, Rishi Sunak
is the prime minister.
Is the prime minister before that, Theresa May and Boris Johnson. It's so funny because over there, like, their conservatives are just like stuffy kind of capitalists.
Yeah, right.
Versus just our conservatives who are like trying to drill into the earth to find the devil, you know?
Our conservatives have like a gun on their hip while giving speeches in the Capitol.
Yeah, they're like, our conservatives are like trying to like place a crystal in one of Mount Rushmore's eyes. So if the sun hits it, Lincoln will come to life and defeat the pedophiles.
It's a little different. So this is the tweet he had quote tweeted a video. I'm not gonna play the video, but you can sort of see it there. But he's reacting to what he feels is a terrible policy about immigration and accepting refugees into the United Kingdom. And honestly, it didn't seem that like crazy of a position, but this is the actual tweet that he got in trouble for. And it says, quote, there is, and he's referring to refugees. He says, there is no huge influx. We take far fewer refugees than other major European countries. This is just an immeasurably cruel policy directed at the most vulnerable people in language that is not dissimilar to that used by Germany in the 30s. And I'm out of order. And he's clearly reacting to a tweet that was deleted, so I don't know the exact context. But doesn't seem that wild of a statement. Maybe I think the Germany part is what's bothering some people, but it doesn't take away from the policy being kind of like mired in some xenophobia and just built to sort of scare people about immigrants and brown people coming into a country.
Yeah, I mean, I think what people maybe can't relate to on the American side of things is that the BBC is a public institution, so and it's not independent of the government like our PBS is. So when the Tories come to power, it's going to get a Tory leader.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a Tory leader of the BBC. Obviously, it's politicized. And you wouldn't even notice the politicization, like, in their programming. I haven't noticed it up until this event.
Okay.
But, obviously, they took chagrin with this. I lived in the UK for the last 6 months. Well, June through December. And this type of stuff is really silly. It's there's no camp. There's no, like, the Thames isn't, like, full of, like, boat people. And
right. And that's, there was, in that video, one of the statements was something like, it says, enough is enough. We must stop the boats.
Yeah.
Which is just a strange way.
There's no boats. I really don't think I've been to the Thames and the Channel, and I've seen Calais, where the largest refugee camp is. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. Sorry, French people. But almost all of the refugees that are in the UK came pretty normally. They came through trains and planes and ferries and things like that. I think it's such a so. Where I lived in Crawley
for a lot of time. We should talk about that, about your time there, because it was interesting, but finish this point.
But all the kind of derelict discount hotels had been taken over by refugee groups that needed them.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like a... I really liked England, because they kind of like... They were like, oh, we have resources, let's put them towards humanity, you know,
lovely.
And not like monetize them. And yeah, so there was a... There was a big influx of Syrians and people that, you know, had been displaced by the Syrian kind of Turkish war. I don't really know what you call that war anymore. The ISIS war.
Okay.
You know, the Syrian civil war. Mm-hmm. And then there was Afghanis or Afghans. Afghani is, I learned this, is a blanket. Afghan is a person.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or
it's the other way around, actually. I think Afghan is the blanket. Afghanis are the people.
Okay.
And then Ukrainians, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And so they each would kind of come in waves, and then they would be put in these hotels, and resources were low. It was a struggle. But, you know, speaking on like a country that is probably, you know, fifth wealthiest in the world, something like that, they were making it work. And these people, you know, had good lives, but it wasn't like you didn't go to the grocery store and like a child ran up and stole your purse and skittered back into the... And this was a place where there was a large refugee influx. It was like actually where these refugees were living. And I didn't see it, you know? I'd meet a guy who couldn't speak English. I'd see a family of Afghani people who were kind of like disoriented because they didn't really know the bus system or something like that. But this wasn't, I don't know, it was just like, it wasn't the crisis that I saw. And I've also been in, you know, I've been in Switzerland this year, I've been in Italy this year, I've been in France this year. I've been, I think another country, I can't remember. But it's not...
Holland? Holland?
Okay. I've never actually been to Holland. Okay. I'm going in June. Amsterdam, shout out Amsterdam, come to my shows. But yeah, it was like a, you know, it was kind of a, it's conservative, you know, double speak.
So
kind
I'm
of
just
thing.
Saying this, even just in the way that you're speaking, which is at least considerate towards just people's humanity and stuff like that. This is why Gary Lineker's tweet really doesn't seem that egregious.
No.
He's not really saying anything that wild. And for it to go to the degree of like, we need to remove this man off the air, who also during the World Cup was very like, forthright about like how the BBC was deciding to cover the World Cup,
and
called out, you know, human rights abuses and sort of things like that. But it's like, but when you call out your own country, all of a sudden we got to get this guy off the air. So the way this at least ended, to my knowledge, is he has been reinstated and should be back soon. But the annoying part is that the like I don't know if it's like conservative trolls on Twitter, but then people are like, I actually finally enjoyed Match of the Day this weekend. It's just like, bro, what are you talking about?
I saw someone tweet, this was the best episode of Match of the Day, and someone quoted with, ah, yes, all football fans call it an episode.
Bro, it's just like people are use it as an opportunity to like dunk on an issue that they, you know, they don't really care that much about, but it's opportunistic, to say the least. So, all right, so that's it. That seems to be all that happened, but it was big news. It was all over my timeline, and the fact that all these big name footballers were standing in solidarity with Gary Lineker was, to me, a nice sign. Hopefully this influences what, I don't know, the policy in itself, or gets people to at least think about it in a more decent way.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, it's funny because I think this, like, obviously we can move on because there's so much to cover, but I think there's something very bizarre that happens with conservatives and sports, mm-hmm. which is that they watch sports. They love sports. Sports are dominated by brown and black people.
Mm-hmm.
And then brown and black people are, you know, marginalized and all Western countries.
Mm-hmm.
And so eventually politics get involved and they're like, oh, I loved the sports, but please don't talk about your community's situation.
Right, right, right.
They eventually have to go like, oh, wait.
It's a thing. It's almost, it's like we hate that we have to face it because it's nice to not have to face it.
Yeah.
You know, I can scroll away if the thing...
Yeah,
talks about something I don't want to hear about, but then with sports, I have to watch the whole game.
Be athletes, not people.
Is that too much to ask? Ken M says the shut up and dribble mentality. Yeah, I mean, we keep talking about, but Gary Lineker didn't say something on the network, on the show.
Yeah.
It wasn't thrown in anybody's face.
Being a private citizen.
Being a private citizen, tweeted, you know, does he have, I don't know if he has in his bio, you know, tweets are not the thought of my employer or whatever. You know how everybody does that now? Yeah.
But he's like one of those guys where it's like, if Lineker isn't working at the BBC, it's like, he's an institution.
Exactly.
You know? So he shouldn't need to. It'd be like if you like saw like Cher tweeted something and you'd be like, wait, Cher's last album was with, you know, Sony. Somebody get Tokyo on the line.
Okay. So let's talk about some matches real quick, because we see Andy Haynes is wearing an Arsenal kit. Is that this year's?
Yeah.
Okay.
This was bought at the stadium.
Nice.
In October.
At the Emirates. Look at that.
Yeah.
Lovely. The long sleeve. I love seeing it.
Yeah. You know? Shout out Kevin Betsy, former youth coach. Now he's at Wigan.
Wigan. But they're going to correct you, bro.
Yeah. Wigan. Sorry. I always think I'm saying it. I'm like, at least I'm saying it right. And then I get corrected. Like, I actually think that I'm ahead of that right there. And then they're like, nope, you said it completely wrong.
I just, look, when it comes to this stuff, I'm like,
you've been told.
I'm a well, actually, because I don't want the chat to yell at anybody. Okay.
But he got me the most amazing seats I've ever had for a Gunners game. I sat literally the row behind the box. I could have touched Emile Smith Rowe.
Beautiful.
And I didn't. So I should get props for that because he's one of my favorite players.
I mean, he might get injured, bro. You got to be careful with him.
I think he's kind of he's in delicate mode right now.
Right. Yeah. I think they're monitoring his minutes. Obviously, he had a pretty severe injury. So, all right. I've had a slew of different Gooners come through this show, even some of the co-hosts. How are you feeling about Arsenal's season? They obviously just put a shellacking on Fulham, 3-0.
Yeah, I was actually surprised by that result. I didn't think Fulham would take that. So, you know, Mitrovic is such an amazing forward, and they have a deep, you know, defense.
Yeah, they've been great this year. They're in eighth place, ninth place? They're in eighth place, yeah. Fulham. But for whatever reason, I don't know if it was just simply Leandro Trossard this weekend. Martin, it's nice to see Martinelli sort of looking like Martinelli. And there is...
The return of Jesus.
The return of Jesus was nice. you know, maybe there have been a couple weird results, right? The loss to Everton, which shouts, I'm happy to help.
I actually thought of you that day. I was like, at least somebody's happy.
All right. And then the win against Bournemouth the week prior.
I mean, probably one of the, I want to say it's the match of the season so far.
Really?
Other than maybe that Liverpool game that I was at. No, I mean, just the Reece Nelson goal is like, I mean, it's going to go down in infamy. It'll be one of those things that people...
A huge moment, yeah.
I'm sure... I could guarantee that somebody went and got some kind of tattoo based off of that that moment.
Yeah. But overall, how are you feeling about Arsenal's chances to actually hold on and win this title? Because Manchester City... I thought they were going to drop points this weekend, and they did not. They got a penalty, and they ended up winning 1-0 to Crystal Palace, right?
Yeah. Very debatable penalty, too. It was a pretty...
Okay, I actually didn't see the penalty.
He didn't even argue, though. I was watching the game. I thought it was questionable, too, but then when he stopped arguing, I was like, all right, maybe he knew something.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's just Crystal Palace mentality. Yeah. You've been abused so much.
How are we feeling about Arsenal?
I mean, I think it's ours for the taking. We have a really pretty straightforward month this month. Mm-hmm. And then we get into April, which I think is where it'll really come into it, because I think we play Liverpool, City, and Chelsea.
Let's look at the upcoming fixtures. It's Palace, Leeds, Liverpool.
Leeds, Liverpool.
The next three. These are all Premier League matches. Yeah, yeah.
Leeds, Liverpool, and then we have City at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Southampton obviously won't be. Oh, yeah, look at Chelsea is the last weekend. I think it's ours for the taking. We have a deep bench. I think we have so much talent. I think the Arteta system is proving. If we're going to be honest, the Arteta system comes from the school of the Guardiola system.
Okay.
So I'm feeling positive, but I also think, you know, like, I'm an Arsenal fan, so I'm used to things happening.
It feels like the thing happening would have happened already, though, right? There's something about that result against Bournemouth. You don't expect them to win every game, but they're winning games they're winning the games they should win. And Manchester City are losing or drawing the games that you wouldn't, like, they had the draw against Wolves, I think, a couple weeks ago. Like, results like that were what was usually happening to Arsenal.
That was the Arsenal thing, where we would beat Liverpool or we would beat Chelsea, and then we would lose to Wigan, or we would, you know, like Wigan. Sorry, I said it again.
When they lose, they're Wigan. It's all good.
Or we would lose to, you know, whoever was like bottom of the table. I can remember, you know, years past where we were like kind of in the race for a Champions League spot, you know, like we were like third or fourth or whatever. And then we would lose to like Norwich City, and you'd be like, guys, this is Champions League we're talking about, you know. But I think we're going to probably win, but it's going to be trying. I was a little nervous to see them put Jesus back in, but he probably needs the minutes to kind of,
of course,
the confidence back. the only problem is I'm not worried about anybody else. I just think it's City, and City is such a like unmovable force.
They're the, you know, the empire, bro. I mean, they feel
it's so weird too. I want to say this right now. There's like five City fans that I believe.
Okay.
And the rest of them are like somebody who I think got FIFA, you know, they're like, oh, Haaland's sick. You know, you're like, I don't believe you. I believe Liam Gallagher I believe.
The guy that, you know, 20, 30 years supporting the team. I saw there was Kevin De Bruyne did a like post-match interview or pre-match interview. I don't remember. I guess preparing for Champions League, they have the fixture against RB Leipzig this week, and they were just asking him about, like, you know, how he feels the season is going, and I'm very much paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly what he said, but he was just like, well, you know, we're fighting for a title, we're trying to we're in three competitions and stuff like that, and it's just like, bro, do you even, like, I just, like, genuinely felt like, do you care? Like, you want it so much that I didn't sense the, like, urgency to fight for winning the title again. And Arsenal are salivating at the mouth at the opportunity to get this title.
It's so beautiful over right there right now. When you go to Islington, I mean, it's like, you know, it's a really good feeling. It's really positive. But shout out to all my Arsenal fans.
But I wonder if that level of, like, not feeling any pressure to win a title is an advantage to try to win a title.
Yeah, you know, I people might argue with this, but I think honestly, I think this is the Super League syndrome,
yeah,
where it's like Champions League is probably what matters right now in that locker room, because they're, you know, it's theirs to take.
Of course.
And obviously we're not going to get like too beaten down by a Europa League loss, mm-hmm, or whatever, you know, Conference League. We're not in Conference League, we're in normal, but you know, like, I think once you leave the Champions League, it's less gravity. Unless you're like, you know, Atletico Madrid or whatever. I think that's what they care about right now.
Okay. Del Boy in the chat just said that's the KDB melancholy. And then somebody said KDB equals Belgian casual.
I also think I think KDB is one of the greatest players of all time. I love him so much. But I also think his heart was broken by the Belgian team this year.
Oh, sure.
You saw a switch where it was like, you know.
Well, there was, yeah.
He stopped promoting his clothing line.
That's when you know it's bad.
Yeah.
He could only handle Lukaku missing great opportunities to move them, to advance them into a World Cup. A lot of the players can handle that. Belgium looked also very, very bad.
There was a story I saw that was pretty funny about Belgium where there's Eden and his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another brother that they don't even talk about.
Oh, I don't know.
Who plays like seventh tier football.
He used to play for Chelsea, actually. There were all three of them were on the team.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And then one's like a black sheep who like can't get his act together.
Black sheep Hazard. It's a great, lovely family. All right. So the one thing to wrap up Arsenal, I'm not an Arsenal fan, but I am a Matt Turner fan, mm-hmm, obviously the American goalkeeper who's playing in the Europa League matches. He did play against Sporting in the first leg of that Europa League tie. It is tied 2-2, I believe.
Yeah,
currently.
Yeah, it was. Is there no aggregate differential?
Not anymore.
No.
Yeah,
no.
So it's tied 2-2.
And it was a good game. And the did you watch this game?
Yeah, I mean, Sporting looked
they looked
dangerous.
Good. Yeah. They had it was that shot that Matt Turner parried away, but it fell at the feet of the other defender.
That's like when they press, they're such a swarm and they're so quick. You know, it's like that ticky tacky kind of like on crack, like.
Yeah.
Where it's like their ability to coordinate that you know, you see a lot of like in the EPL and obviously a lot of the Northern European conferences, you see this precision passing and it's like ding, ding, ding. But like the kind of movement is so fluid with the Portuguese league and Spanish and Italian and even some of the French teams that, I don't think it's necessarily wrapped up, you know?
Yeah, Thursday, yeah, not
I'll
at
be,
all.
I'll be nervous.
I think the... for whatever reason, Arsenal didn't look like Arsenal. And I don't know if it has much to do with, like, just... You know, obviously, they're going to, change some players, obviously, for midweek competition. But I think if, from a, like, I don't know, health perspective or fitness perspective, if Arsenal can just stay as fit as possible for these matches and maybe have the opportunity... They did rotate several players.
Yeah, I think Nketiah is on the bench right now.
Which he should be, right? Because they can... 100% win this competition, and I don't necessarily care if Arsenal win it, but I do care if Matt Turner wins it. I think that would be just such a huge boost for just American goalkeepers, American players, and look, for him to play every match in Europa League and win it. Oh my God! And I currently live in Park Ridge, New Jersey, where Matt Turner is from.
Oh wow!
And literally, like when for the World Cup, Ted Lasso, they did like a big marketing campaign, and they put a big like letter, big, big big signs and where Ted Lasso wrote a letter to every player of the U.S. men's national team.
That's cool.
And they put one up at his high school, which is right, not far from me. So there is a, I have a deep emotional connection, and where I really want this man to win a title for Arsenal. That'd be so cool.
I mean, I'm like so in love with Ramsdale that it's going to be hard for me to make room for him in my heart. But I saw him, you know, he's a good player, and I think he had a decent World Cup, and obviously he's having a great run with Arsenal. I want him to do well. I don't think it was so weird. Nobody talked about the drama of this weekend where it was we were playing against Leno. And,
oh, yeah,
you know,
Leno, yeah.
He just didn't. Nobody really cared that he'd spent a decade previously.
It's similar to, I mean, I guess people have, they appreciate Emi Martinez. Arsenal fans appreciate Emi Martinez way more than some of their other keepers. But the, like the when you guys beat Aston Villa and the ball hit Emi Martinez's head, everybody was just like, okay, well, he's still one of us, you know what I mean?
Emi Martinez, I feel like they, you know, he's like one of those guys where he's so kind of problematic in a way where it's just like they, we love him for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, you score an own goal as a goalie. Of course, this is why we love you, Emi.
Sean 613 said, if they make the Europa final, does Matt Turner play?
No, that's
a good question. It would be criminal if, and this is a constant question. This happens all the time. Where do you play the guy that got you there? And I say play the guy that got you there, man.
Really?
The problem is I don't think that's the school of thought. And but you know, by that time we might be still in a very like, you know, we might be in a very close. We don't even have to lose the league. Like we can get a couple ties. You know, like if. If I think they'll be happy with a draw from Liverpool and they'll be happy with a draw from Man City in these April games, but that, you know, that's four lost points.
Right. Yeah.
So it's and we're a 6-point divide. It's very close.
Yeah. There is this general feeling that Manchester City, regardless of how their season has been, that they're just going to win every game. Right, I have that fear. I'm like, well, they're probably going to win.
But they're like the Borg. In Star Trek, where you're like, how do you beat this thing? You know, it's just like they're turning off all your systems. And Haaland is like, he's just so dangerous, and their bench is so deep. I mean, the Haaland, KDB, and Gundogan, and I'm trying to think of everybody. It's just...
Mahrez, I mean,
They're
Jack Grealish.
Jack Grealish,
who I love. Jack Grealish, party boy. Aston Villa, Birmingham party boy, Jack Grealish.
Okay.
Will always have a place in my heart. Yeah. Shout out Jack Grealish. Bringing the lace back. The hairband lace.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... It's going to be, and it, I won't it, even, you
it,
know.
It, I would just say, like, it's interesting, even, like, Manchester City had the drama with, like, João Cancelo, where he got loaned to Bayern Munich and can barely play over there, which is also very strange. He did play in the Champions League match. But whenever Manchester City has any, like, you know, a player is unhappy, even that seems like, oh, why is he ruining this perfectly functional machine?
Yeah,
like,
it's always their fault. It's never Pep.
It must be the player because everything seems to be, working fine in this refinery.
Yeah, I think, I think we're going to win the league because I think we have God on our side. but okay. I think it's going to be close.
It's hard to compete with GLD. I mean, that's how it is.
Who knocked us out of the FA Cup? I forget who it was. I
remember. I can look it up.
Not a great team. Speaking of American players, though, I can't think of his name right now, but he plays in the championship. He's a big kid. He's like a...
Daryl DK.
Yes. I love this guy.
West Brom.
He's a unit, man.
Orlando City product.
Yeah. I really, really, really like his style and, you know, just... He's so athletic.
He's a unit, bro. Like the a lot of players who've played against him are just like, this dude is just too big to be playing this sport, but he's so good.
I don't think this is like real quick aside, but I don't think Americans realize how much football there is in England. I think like we know like theoretically,
right?
But like when I was over there, you know, it's not a big place. It's like if you leave London and you drive, you drive 7 hours, you're at the top. You drive three, you're at the bottom. You drive four, you're at the either side.
Right, right.
It's like it's not water, a big place. Yeah. It's like if Jersey, I don't know, was twice the size or whatever. Mm-hmm. There is a professional football team every
six blocks.
It's insane.
It is,
I mean,
wild,
if
yeah.
you go like down into like, because there's literally 16, 17 tiers. If you go to like 17th tier, there's probably 300 clubs in London.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah,
in
I
the city
that.
Of London. It's just, it's so much football. So it's so cool to get to like,
There's like a map. I've seen a map.
I've seen that map. Yeah. It's, oh yeah.
Yeah. Here it is.
Look, you can barely see the country.
Oh, wait, this is a YouTube video. Hold on. I'll put this on screen here. But yeah, it is, it's a.
That one down there, that Groundhopper Soccer Guides.
This one, okay.
Like, that's not even, I mean, that's probably down to League One, maybe just the championship.
Yeah, I mean, it's packed. I mean, and there's only like, no, there has to be more in Wales and stuff like that.
Yeah, because like they're not even showing you
some of the other
what's
divisions.
It called? The Wrexham is not on there. It doesn't look like, but yeah, it's crazy how much football there
is. I want to real quick. So you were in you were living in England for a while. You were working for a club.
Yeah, so I was in I mainly lived in London because I wanted to do spots at night.
Yeah,
but I worked with a club called Crawley Town FC, mm-hmm. and I did some social media stuff for them. And the great club, great people, love my experience there. I left in December.
Okay,
wanted to like do some more stand up and stuff like that.
Of course,
I think they're in a pretty bad place right now. I think they might be in last. In League Two, and
what, they play in League Two.
Yeah, go to that. Yeah, it was not good the last time I checked.
Crawley Town.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah, because they got a big win this weekend.
They're in 23rd, but they're in the relegation zone.
They're in the relegation zone, yeah, and this is the biggest difference in. So there's four professional leagues in England where mm-hmm. you get EFL money and you get the support of the entire league.
Yeah,
and this is the bottom of it. So. Crawley Town, Hartlepool, and Rochdale, probably one of them is going out. And then they go to the National League, which is where Wrexham and a couple other teams that you, like, I think Oxford might be down there. A couple other teams that have had history. But the TV rights and things like that, the money really changes.
Okay. So they obviously really, really want to stay up. That makes sense. Can you talk a little bit about what the did they embrace the American working for an English club? What was that? There must have been banter. There must have been, growing pains.
I want to say, I have to think about my NDA here.
Okay,
they were very, very supportive of me.
Okay.
Everybody was really, really kind to me and really nice. I don't, there's a trend in, I will speak loosely, there's a trend in all of English football where American entrepreneurs are buying teams as kind of little like the idea is that you buy this team in a lower league and then you can work it
and
up
it's a great in, story and
you know yeah. and then there's a lot of money. It is a great turnaround. Mm-hmm. You put a couple million into it each year and you increase that until you're in the Premier League. And I think there's a gap between that idea mm-hmm. versus how much it actually takes. These teams are all good.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like you're playing against Wimbledon and like it's not a venture capital just little project a startup kind of a thing.
I mean
it's really difficult. And as I think people are seeing with Wrexham that it is really, really hard to get out of the lower tiers of English football to make it to, like, obviously, Premier League. I mean, very few teams get that far. I mean, if you can get to the championship, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, like, huge. Yeah. And thank God God bless ESPN. I'm sorry if this is against your network, but for putting the championship on their channel.
Okay.
Because it's, I don't know if you've been watching.
I don't watch it too often, but
it's on Plus. You can just watch every single game. And
usually when there's like a, so when Leeds was in the championship.
Oh, yeah.
And Jack Harrison went to Leeds, and Jack Harrison came from NYCFC.
Oh, yeah.
And then he went to he was at Middlesbrough for a little bit, and then went to Leeds. Now I'm watching. When I have a connection to a club,
yeah.
In the chat, I'll watch.
You want to see a player do well, and you know,
exactly.
He's your guy.
Yeah,
yeah. I just think there's going to have to be a reconciling of this. There's the one thing, which is the Todd Bowleys of the world, and who's the guy that bought Bournemouth?
I don't know his name, but he's like an the
old same idea.
He's
you know,
old
it's,
man.
It's
these, I know he's an old man.
It's I've these guys, kind of. Just playing chess with, you know, clubs human beings. And, you know, the former owner of Disney, former CEO of Disney owns Portsmouth. There's like a bunch of money, just like American money, international money. There's a reason also why these Emiris and Saudis, they're not buying League One and Two teams because it's that hard.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, so, yeah. They don't want to do the work.
Okay. It's a lot of work. And I, you know, having worked at Crawley, every player on there was a professional player. Every player on there was a great player, and the season, I think anybody can admit, did not go the direction they wanted it to. And that was not without like a lot of effort and a lot of intelligence, you know, people really trying to make it a great season. So I think it could happen to anybody.
Yeah, you know? It's interesting. And like the, you know, we have lots of friends that work in social media for certain teams and stuff like that. And it's usually more the high profile ones, but it's interesting working at the level that you were working at a club at that level. There's an emotional aspect. Like when, did you see the Sunderland documentary and stuff like that? Where like, you know, they lose a game and they're like, oh, well, we got to sell the copier. You know what I mean? Like there's such a deep, we're like, oh, Susan, that's your job. They didn't win. The boys didn't win. So there is clearly like a deep emotional connection to the club that I think Americans are not so aware. They just, it might just seem like a job to some people, but for some people it is like truly not just their life, but they're like, it's the fabric of the community.
Yeah. It's a community center. It's a school. Most of these clubs are schools. Their programs are, you know, like going to be like, if you can get into their academy, then you can go and you can, play professional football. And, yeah, I mean, that's like the thing. Like Crawley Town had a foundation, which was a school. It did elder care. It did refugee programs.
Remarkable.
It did football a couple days a week for mentally challenged, disabled. But like where it was like literally like there's the football on the field and the rest of the time it was the community. You know, and even the community, that was something that I tried to do is I wanted, there was a huge South Asian population, especially refugee in Crawley. Obviously, I think a lot of them were not refugees that came out wrong, but like where there was like all these people that were not going to games.
Yeah.
And I wanted them to be at the games. And so I was making a big push. I'd use the Blackpool. Blackpool had done a big, I think I'm getting that right. I get all these northern teams confused.
It's all good.
But it was like, you know, get these communities, and it's a big deal. And then when you lose the support of sponsors and the league money and the TV money, it does definitely affects the community.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, you know, northern England, there's not a lot of...
it's not that lit.
Not a lot of happiness.
Yeah. There's not a lot of stuff to do in Northern England.
It ain't popping like that.
No. Wow. Shout out Liverpool. Shout out York.
A lot of
shout
smiling out children.
I think, you know, you can join a headbutting league, you know.
JG just said in the chat, getting relegated twice was quite a plot twist for Sunderland. Shout out to Lyndon Gooch, the American over at Sunderland. But yeah, I mean, there's a, even when I was watching the Sunderland documentary, I'm like, you just you're used to like films and movies and shows where like, oh, this is gonna end well, and it just you forget like, oh, I know what happens, and they don't get out of this one.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out James Corden for making that documentary.
Oh, I didn't know he made it.
Yeah, yeah. That's his
like production,
which
company.
Is weird because he is a diehard West Ham fan.
Yeah,
and it's not like West Ham's doing so good that they don't need a documentary.
That'll be the next one, bro. They're, I mean, Everton are fighting with them to not get relegated, but we'll see what happens. Well, all these teams that are struggling for, you know, to try to stay up in their respective leagues, all they need to do, really, Mike, we all know, they just need to chill out. They need to chill out with a Coors Light, mm-hmm. because today's show is brought to you by Coors Light. You know, you don't need to be on all the time. You know, if you even if you have a big victory or big loss, you know, what's always helpful, especially with a Coors Light, Andy, I don't know if you know this, but when the beer is cold enough, you know what happens?
Yeah.
On the beer.
Oh yeah.
Okay. The mountains show up.
it's like earlier, like I was talking about, like national. What is that? National Treasure. That you can see the map.
Bro, the mountains. You can see the mountains.
You know, if you need some direction in life, just make sure the beer is cold enough, because the mountains will lead you to where you need to be. Okay. So Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold. Package is literally made to chill. It's a crisp and refreshing. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Perfect for a moment to unwind, to mark your calendar for some quality time of Coors Light. The beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
Did they stop saying the silver bullet?
That isn't Coors Light, right?
Is it? I don't know.
Oh, silver, I don't know.
Bullet. I think Coors Light is the silver bullet.
Oh, maybe.
Because it's the train.
Oh, that's right. Okay, well.
That must be like.
Yeah, it's still a silver bullet.
I hope I didn't. We'll I hope it. I'm not messing with your, your no, advertisers.
I'll tell the person who wrote the script, add a silver bullet back to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bring back the silver bullet.
Yeah, bring back the train.
Okay. Nick Red said, not sure a documentary about West Ham would make anyone like their fans. Do West
no,
Ham have.
There is a documentary, and it's called Green Street Hooligans.
our video editor is a big West Ham fan, mm-hmm. so he might see this and
shout out Jamie.
He might be clipping this right now, for all I know.
I mean, one thing I was going to say is, speaking of, we got into the championship a little bit. You were saying earlier about the Burnley thing, which is interesting. They're kind of an amazing story. I mean, it ties in a lot of stuff. They also have Vincent Kompany, and yes. I think they're at the top, or I think they're sitting pretty comfortably
at
the
top. Yeah, I think they're in first place.
So it's interesting with them, because it's you know, former Man City player.
Right.
You're going to see another, you know, we have the possibility for another protege of Pep to be in the league fighting for you know, that standing. How many points ahead are they? Or are they just
they are 13 points ahead. In the championship, Burnley. Yeah, so I think we were talking about this off air, but Burnley were hit with a transfer ban, which doesn't seem like it's going to be that big a deal. It will be a big deal, because if
they get promoted
and they cannot transfer any players into the Premier League, we can guarantee that they will be back in the championship the following year. Burnley, I
think that might be, you know what, that might be a conspiracy based on that they're going to go up and no European player wants to go to Burnley. I don't know if you've been to that part of England, but it is not nice.
I just saw this tweet earlier before we started recording. And yes, it says Burnley, this is from BBC Sport Lancashire. It says Burnley have been placed under an immediate transfer embargo by the EFL. The club has confirmed in a statement. And the statement essentially just says, hey, no, the club is doing fine. We switched over from a different auditor to audit our financial records. And there was some delay in getting information to the EFL's club financial reporting unit. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I guess there have been a lot of delays. Now they will be hit with a transfer ban, which really, really sucks for obviously a team that is doing well and looks like they will be in the Premier League next season. And so it sucks. I feel bad for Vincent Kompany, especially if he stays with the team, which you would assume he would. But if you can't sign players when you get into the Premier League, especially when you're making like, how much money do they get? They call it something, right?
It's an insane amount of money
when you get promoted, and they're just gonna be sitting on all this cash and they can't get any players.
Yeah, you're gonna just see every player arriving in a Tesla super truck.
They gotta put the money somewhere. I don't want it to be taxed, so I gotta just spend it on stuff. So unfortunate. Kevincho said, I played in a youth academy in Burnley. It's not nice at all. Kevin, you went to Burnley? That's one of the last places I would have
had. That's an upset. Only Argentinian person.
And he said, I live in Kansas. He's letting you know how bad it is.
He's like, I want to live somewhere in America that looks exactly like Burnley.
Maybe he just really loved Burnley. He was like, what's the closest thing we've got here?
It feels like home, bro.
I mean, I think it's right next to Newcastle. And I think Grimsby's up there. There's a couple teams up there. It's like those islands that you go to in Game of Thrones where the, where are those islands? The Aran Islands or whatever?
The Iron Islands.
Iron Island. Yeah. It's that kind of vibe where it's everybody's damp.
Everything's gray.
Yeah.
Speaking of Burnley, because, Everton do have the former Burnley manager in Sean Dyche, a big win. I don't even remember who they won against. Who did they play?
They beat Forest, right?
Everton?
Yeah, Everton won again. Why am I forgetting? Brentford.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't know if you saw the goal from Dwight McNeil. He scored 38 seconds into the game, absolute banger.
Jesus.
As Everton does, there were no goals after that. So the game got exciting very quickly.
They parked the bus as soon as they got a lead. They said, all right.
No, you know what? Everton at home especially since Sean Dyche has managed, looked like Everton of old, of just a pragmatic team that just does their best, holds on to the ball, defends well. Tries to get
the Sean Dyche system. You bring him in if you're facing relegation,
right. Maybe we'll score on a set piece here and there. And that's what they did in this game. Brentford didn't really have that many great chances, and Everton had more. There was a goal taken back because of a handball from Damari Gray. But this is especially at home. Look, I said this to Alexis a couple of weeks ago. I'm just like, if Everton can win, if they win one and lose lose two, lose three, or get a point.
Yeah, where are they sitting now? Are they like in 14th?
They are currently in 15th. But this is actually a pretty crazy situation right now in the Premier League because last place to what? To 12th place is only a 5-point difference. So every week,
this is going to be an interesting spring. Yeah.
Any of eight teams or nine teams can be in the relegation zone on any given week. But everybody's trying to guess who is going to end up relegated. But if out of your best guesses, looking at this list, how are you feeling? Who you think is out?
God, sadly, shout out my buddy Lee Hudson. I think Southampton is just they're flailing. I don't really. They've had some amazing wins this year, but I don't think they got it. And I think they're going to stay down there in the bottom three. And then it's hard because like all these teams have good systems, but I think you're probably going to see Bournemouth is probably going to go out, and then I maybe even want to say a Leicester.
Yeah, I could see Leicester going down. Leeds is the one, and again, my American bias is wild because obviously there's three American players in the midfield for Leeds United in Weston McKennie, Brendan Aaronson, and Tyler Adams.
I don't think they can go down. I just think it's possible.
It is possible.
But I don't think...
They better not.
That's a big club. I think that they have a lot of money invested in them, and I think that... I think we're days away from a parachute cord being, you know, something has to happen.
Yeah,
because
I think for the most part, year in and year out, you're like, you know what clubs will get relegated. They all look.
Yeah.
The three that get relegated look like they probably should be relegated.
And Leeds has put up a fight against every single top tier team. I mean, like they were the first draw that Arsenal had of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, We couldn't get past their defense. So I don't see them going down.
They can't score. That's Leeds' problem. Bamford scored this weekend, which is good. They got a draw. And I'll even open it up to the chat. Who the hell do you think is getting relegated? Because it's really every team, even including Southampton, there's a couple games where they look pretty good. They beat Everton on James Ward-Prowse. Is now, I believe he's tied with David Beckham for most goals from for free kicks.
Yeah,
and
he's unstoppable.
Yeah, so just having that guy there is, I feel like, is going to guarantee you a couple points. But there's no definitive team that's been in the relegation zone that I'm like, yeah, they should be relegated. I even Southampton, who has had a terrible start. But look, Southampton wins one game and they're out of the relegation zone. So it's pretty wild how close it is.
Yeah, this May 26th is going to be an insane day. Or 28th, sorry. It's going to be interesting. I feel like, you know, I'm like trying to say like, well, all these like specifically like, well, Bournemouth, they got this new owner. Like, there's no way he's going to let this happen. And then you look at Leeds and Southampton even has. But it's like, imagine, I mean, a West Ham going down. Even you guys, I mean, it's the possibilities there. I don't think you'll go down. But it would be insane. Everton has not been in the championship for.
No, they've never been relegated from the. They've never been relegated from the Premier League.
Yeah.
At all. So, but they've been in, like, before it was the Premier League. I don't think Everton will get relegated, and I'm not trying to be as, like, biased as possible. Because I think they just have, they have a functional, you know, they have a, I think when Frank Lampard was managing, there was a, I made this critique all the time. There was just a refusal to change what wasn't working.
Yeah,
it's just like they were so poor. The morale was brutal.
Oh, and I mean, I was in England when that where they stopped the cars leaving.
It's not a great sign.
It did not look good.
Anthony Gordon just did an interview, and they were asking him about you know, his time at Everton, and he said, you know, that's the club I came up with, and it always have a place in my heart and all this other stuff. But he was just like, yeah, but towards the end there, when, you know, the fans were just mad at me and stopping my car from leaving the stadium, it's just like that was a difficult situation to be in. And the kid is like 20 years old, and these grown adults are being like, get out of my club and all this other stuff. And it's like, and it hurts more when he's from there.
Yeah.
So it's like it feels almost personal at that point.
Yeah, I think I think Everton's starting to kind of right the ship, and you guys like, you know, more than a lot of clubs have a deep bench, and like what Iwobi's doing there is pretty phenomenal.
Sure.
Is he healthy right now?
Yes, he is. Yeah, and he's playing great. He got moved from winger to a midfielder,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of changed the dynamic of the team a lot. Iwobi's been great. He's probably our best, you know, just. The guy that I trust with the ball to not lose it and not make like a poor decision is Iwobi. It's just like he's no longer, he barely takes shots in a game anymore. Like, he's not the same player that he was at Arsenal.
I saw him when Arsenal visited LA and they did like an MLS All-Stars versus Arsenal.
Right, right, right.
And he scored. I mean, he's got the kid. That kid has it. So,
but Everton, like, they desperately just needed somebody to do what he is doing. And
I worry about how heavy his dreads are getting there. You know?
I mean, look, some of us are more concerned than others, but it's all good. Look, if he keeps us up, we could care less how much they weigh. The other thing I wanted to make sure to talk about was Barcelona, because they came up in the news recently, and I'll try to explain kind of what's going on to the best of my ability. But essentially, I'm reading the headline from The Athletic here that simply says, Barcelona charged with corruption over payments to former referees chief. And the first line says, Barcelona have been charged with corruption over payments they made to the vice president of Spanish football's refereeing committee. And José María Enríquez Negreira, who held that role between 1994 and 2018, also facing charges of corruption in a case brought by the Spanish Public Prosecutor's Office. Okay. And so in general, this is what how I understand it. Barcelona, from 2014? Oh, no, I don't know the exact, the exact time span. But it essentially for like it was about 10 years, essentially, they were paying a company that was owned by a referee or a guy involved in like the refereeing committee. And the main issue there is a charge because they don't know exactly what these payments are for. And they're trying to figure out why the person was being paid to begin with. The story I've heard is that they were paying this refereeing, this company that was owned by this referee, for consultation fees.
Yeah.
The way I interpret it is like, you know how sometimes when in a league they, like, let's say VAR, or like when VAR is implemented, sometimes former referees will be consultants and say like, hey, this is how the rules are going to affect play, and they sort of explain to a team how these rule changes will, you know, how should they adapt to the new rules, essentially. So it's like, seems fairly innocuous, and you know,
yeah, like I think VAR is coming to Champions League championship next year.
Okay.
And so like they're definitely going to have consultations on how that'll affect.
So somebody obviously should be paid to sort of explain these things, but I think it's that the Spanish like tax authorities looked at the financial records for this referee's company, and it says that the payments, prosecutors put a figure on the total value of these payments over 7.3 million euros paid by Barca to the company's DASNIL, I don't know what it exactly means, but DASNIL, and also a second company. So consulting fees, and if you make 7.3 million...
It doesn't cost that much. That's not how much it costs, even over 10 years.
It seems like that's a good, you know, a good gig, to say the least.
I will do some consulting. If somebody needs me,
consult anywhere you need me to consult.
Yeah, I'll be in France, Italy, Slovenia, Austria, whatever.
North Korea, whatever.
Yeah. I'll do this. I'll do the 1 year North Korean premiership.
Blangola. Blangola is a company that, a country that Alexis is the president of. It's a long story. Long joke.
Yeah.
Whatever. But you know, we have a whole.
It's all corrupt in Blangola. I heard Blangola is
without a doubt.
I heard Blangola is like this Italian third tier. You know, you can get into a game with a freshly slaughtered pig. You know,
some people are calling it Blarcelona. Yeah, you love to see it. So this is a look. It's a serious charge because. I don't know exactly. There was a corruption scandal with Juventus a couple of years ago.
And this year.
But was it refereeing? I thought it was a financial issue.
Yeah, this year was for transfers. The last one was the Tangentopoli.
Yeah, and they got put... immediately down into
Serie B. Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what's? Why didn't they have to start over? I was talking to a Juve fan. You know Calcio podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was hanging out with him in Montreal this weekend, and it's crazy. It should have been you go to the bottom. I mean, there's not that many tiers in Italy.
Just yeah, yeah.
Start over. You know. No, the interesting thing about this is it's also, you know, I think we like to think that the Premiership or the Premier League is not, you know, affected by these same kind of things. But we're looking at right now, for some reason, Man City's getting their
investigation. And,
yeah. Oddly, the year that Arsenal is vying for the title, that Man City is not getting the immediate 15-point deduction that a lot of leagues should do, you know?
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's corruption in every single one of these leagues, no matter what.
Yeah.
There's too much money not to be.
Right. It's all alleged. These are the rumors I'm kind of hearing. So, I'm essentially like Perez Hilton of soccer. All right. I'm just trying to give all the juice, all the gossip.
You're just picking up tea and re-spilling it.
Okay. So what I've heard is, and essentially, Barcelona's somebody who didn't want to go on record made the claim that it wasn't Barcelona buying off referees to give them favorable calls or anything like that. That wasn't the case. But the argument that somebody made that was off the record or whatever, they didn't want to give their name. They said that Barcelona essentially paid this referee off
mm-hmm.
to not give bad calls against Barcelona. Essentially that other people are corrupt, that they're paying the referee. So we're paying our referee to cancel out what they're doing because they're coming after us. So we gotta out corrupt them so that we have a level playing field.
We haven't seen that story where the where the boxer is paid to take a to dive, you know, to take the fall.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other guy comes in and he goes, "I'll pay you to keep on your feet." So that's basically what this is.
That's what I heard, and that is just the most comical, kind of hilarious version of the story.
It's a funny defense. Everybody else is corrupt, so we're just paying. We're doing like this is like corruption insurance.
Yeah.
It is the most "it wasn't me" of
it wasn't me, it was the system we all participate in.
It's
fascinating. If I don't know what's gonna end up happening with this. Barcelona they're in first place in La Liga. They obviously got knocked out of Europa League. We all know the financial issues they have. They had to get rid of players, they have to pull all these financial levers. They had to get Spotify as their,
It's very weird because they're not hurting for money, you wouldn't think.
You wouldn't think, but they 100% are.
No, I know are, but it's like, what'd you guys do with it? Because you're selling lots of jerseys. And it's,
there is something to the, once these brands, I mean, and that's what Barcelona is, just one of the most recognizable brands in the world.
Yeah.
It's still human beings that are running it. I have this sort of debate with Alexis all the time where he sort of thinks that, like, you know, we have this kind of conversation about like promotion relegation and how like in the US and MLS should have it. But it takes a lot of responsibility to manage a club, right? I'm obviously you're working with Crawley Town and you see how it how difficult it is and challenging and this all and if even if you have a $1 billion budget, there's still human beings making the decisions on how that money is spent and things like that. And Barcelona seemed to be an example of, I don't know if it's greed necessarily or just like, you know, we're always going to be on top. And at some point, you just run out of money. There's not an infinite amount of money.
I mean, I think that even being where I was, where I was just doing social media for this small club, and sometimes I would have to put together a crew and things like that. Like, you know, and I would get the go-ahead, not necessarily with my boss knowing the extent to which how many days we were going to shoot.
Right.
So you have to imagine 1,000-fold, you know, times to do to do Barcelona, just, you know, considering like how many people actually work for this club. I do think there's probably corruption. I mean, I think that's inevitable within any kind of large institution, especially in Southern Europe, where there's probably like a culture of it. Sorry.
Justin Freeberg in the chat just said, come on, Christian. Money machine go brrr. Free money. That's how some clubs are managed, sadly.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's happening in England. I think it's happening in Amsterdam. Yeah, I think it's happening like, everywhere.
It's sort of the bigger conversation about, like, you know, like even the conversation we have here about like the economy, like free market, or you know, should it be private, or should the government be involved, or should we have regulation? And how is this not an example of that? You need this regulation because human beings are just gonna, they're not gonna stop. And this is, and you put a club like in Johan Cruyff's book, he spoke so much about how he hated the like bureaucracy of just like, I just want to manage. I just want to tell the players what to do and train them and all this stuff. But then you have a sporting director. You have all these business people that have different ideas on how the club should be run. And then it becomes like any other company. And then there's the people that know football and then some don't. And there's like a clash of heads. And when he was the manager at Barcelona, this is, it's like the same exact thing. It's just like the business people try to put their hands in everything, and it gets out of hand. So this is why I think this has been.
Yeah, and I mean, like also, like we're not even talking about the fact that like the business, you know, a lot of the business of this, like especially player acquisition, is not like a, oh hey, we would like to get Rafinha. How much would you like for Rafinha?
Yeah.
It's like you have to like. You have to like bump in, you have to have your guy bump into Rafinha's cousin in Sao Paulo. And you got to be like, hey, man, those are some nice shoes. Do you want to get dinner and talk? And he's like, oh, okay. Yeah. I would like to go to this dinner that cost $150,000 reales. And, you know, like that. Yeah. But to get the ball, that's literally how you do it. And so it's, I just don't think. I think probably also it's like this is the first, we live in the first era where this corruption is actually being held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when what we saw happen with FIFA and SEP and those people.
Yeah.
I think we are a ways out still from that entire culture being kind of like brought to the forefront. And, you know, like there's probably a lot of reckoning, or we're just going to live in a corrupt world. Okay. Because the Super League looks like it's probably going to happen.
It just feels like the you know, these examples of whether they're trying to find ways to bring in more money. I mean, so the Super League is one of those avenues.
I don't know where that money is, because they've made so much money. Why do you guys want more?
there was one more point I was going to make, but I don't remember. But if I remember, I'll go back to it. But I want to get to reacting to the Champions League results, and then we'll wrap up after this. So Bayern Munich knocks out PSG. I don't know if you watched any of the Champions League
I did.
Matches.
I watched the Bayern Munich
I love
PSG
it.
Game.
Yeah, there's not too many comics that can just be like, yo, you watched, and then they watched. It's just, we're a small crew. But Bayern knocks out PSG in the second leg, and then Tottenham 0-0 in the second leg, but they lose 1-0 aggregate. So I want to start with Tottenham because obviously I always feel like Arsenal fans have something lovely.
They're scum. They're an awful team. Everybody that supports them should walk into a river. No.
The River Thames. Unfortunate.
You said that like the River Thames, like Timberland. Like it's just a river of Timberland boots. They should walk into that. It's a river that kicks you with Timberland boots.
So there's been a lot of news about Tottenham in particular because it sounds like they want to keep Harry Kane, but it doesn't really make sense for him to stay at this point. I mean, he's done what he could, and then the comment, Antonio Conte seems like he's completely checked out. I don't know if you've seen any of his quotes where he's just like, they might sack me tomorrow. I don't know. Like, he's just very, you know, willy-nilly with his managerial job in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Going in at Richarlison, too, in the post-game press conference. That was crazy.
Richarlison did an interview with the Brazilian outlet and said, my season is shit. I don't know why Conte has, like, sat me all these seasons. It's just like...
Hasn't Richarlison not scored yet?
He has not scored in the Premier League, I believe.
Yeah.
I think he scored in a Champions League game, if I'm not mistaken.
There's one European game or a cup or something where he scored, but he hasn't scored.
But he has put the ball in the back of the net two times, but they've been offside each time. Yeah. And each time, he has removed his shirt and received that yellow, but no goal.
Great.
Which is interesting. Shouldn't they take back the yellow if it's called offside? Seems only fair.
No. You took your shirt
off. Depends if it's Richarlison or not.
Yeah. If it's not Richarlison, then no, they should take it back. But, they don't seem to be, I mean, they're fine. They're going to be eighth or ninth or whatever they're at.
They're fourth, I believe, right now in the Premier League.
Are they that close?
Yeah, they're fourth.
Yeah, they are in fourth place.
Newcastle can jump them if they win the game in hand.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised if they hold on, but... You know, I mean, look, it's not a shock for Tottenham to get knocked out of Champions League. They have not looked good. You know, they haven't looked great this season. But are we getting to a point where we feel, maybe this is not the question for you, maybe for Mike, do we feel bad
for
Tottenham?
I'm a Chelsea fan. What are you saying, bro? We got two other London rival clubs in here. You can't be asking us about that.
There is a, do you know the dude Expressions?
Yeah.
Expressions, obviously, he's Tottenham.
NY, right?
No.
No, I think he actually,
you mean like he lives here now? He's
Barstool's
visiting?
Trying to buy the entire football media.
Yeah. So you know. Troops moved out here.
I don't know if Expressions did.
I don't think Expressions did, but.
I like him. He's a good dude.
Okay.
Expressions.
I haven't met him in person, but I've, you know, a lot of these people are divisive to a lot of, like, you know, football fans.
I mean, Troops is insane.
Troops
is a hard Arsenal fan too.
But he is. But when you meet Troops, is actually like he means well. He's like a nice guy. When you meet him, he's a character. And if you don't like the character, then that's what it is.
Yeah.
But Expressions is as effectively louder than Troops, but is on supports a team that is. That breaks his heart much more than Arsenal does.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's...
I feel bad. That's really my main point.
It's, I think they don't seem to be too inspired right now.
The chat just said, Luke Sturgio just said, no one feels bad for Tottenham. We can move on now.
Thank you. Thank you. I was trying to be, like, sympathetic, and then I was like, wait, who am I talking about? Never mind.
I mean, look, when I've gone to London, I've gone to the Emirates, and the... hating Tottenham might as well be the 12th player on the pitch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it is a fully formed being.
Yeah.
It is there. They sing the, like, that's all right. All right, Tottenham. They do the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry I'm butchering the song, but that's that's what I remember of it. But it really, I don't know if it's like, It's sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it seems obsessive.
Yeah, when I was at Crystal Palace for the season opener, they were singing Tottenham is shit. Tottenham. At Crystal Palace. Tottenham wasn't even around. We were in South London.
Wait, that's how whenever I like the New Jersey Devils in hockey. But every time you go to a New Jersey Devils game, they go da 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 da, and then they go Rangers suck, and I'm like, does it? We're playing the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah.
but the Rangers suck chant will happen. So it is fascinating. But another cup competition that they are out of. They're out of FA Cup, or are they still in FA Cup?
I think they're out of everything now.
So look, they're not winning the title. Maybe they'll get a Champions League spot, but it feels like Antonio Conte is probably not even going to make the rest of the season.
I mean, if he's talking like that, but I don't know what they do. What do they put in their, their assistant coach to fit? Because they're not going to be able to get another big coach. Jesse Marsh would be an interesting one, but I don't even know if he's in England anymore.
Bro, I didn't even think that.
That would be crazy.
Jesse Marsh at Tottenham? I would love that.
Yeah, it makes sense. His system is more complementary to Tottenham's style of football. Also, I mean, having... Jesse Marsh never had a Harry Kane at Leeds, which is something that he needed to kind of execute his style.
I'd watch some Tottenham games if Jesse Marsh was there.
They'd keep losing trophies, too.
The thing is, I don't even hate... I hate... Tottenham, the company, the club, but there's some players I really like on Tottenham, and I am, I became a England fan for this World Cup. I really love the English national team, so there's a special place in my heart for Harry Kane, even if he's trying to knock a 787 out of the ground out of the sky with his penalty kick. But I think the bigger story from last week is just how unsuccessful the PSG system thing has been.
That'll be the last thing. PSG getting knocked out of Champions League is obviously a bigger deal than Tottenham getting knocked out of Champions League, but PSG are this team that is exclusively and solely built to win Champions League. Look, it feels like, and people have said this repeatedly, that the worst part of PSG is that they play in Ligue 1, and that the competition that they're playing against is just not even close to what they play in Champions League. And then when you could have all the superstars, but as soon as you play a Bayern, a Manchester City, you're like, oh, this is not the same. Level. Yeah,
but I think that is changing. And I think that, like, if you look at the league right now, you have Lyon, you have Marseille, you have
Monaco,
and you have, there's another one that I'm not thinking.
Lens.
Yeah. Lens. Yeah. So you have these French teams that are actually, starting to kind of be more, there's some more parity within the league.
Yeah, it's still, I agree.
There's a big drop when you go down to the Toulouses and the Reims and, all those. But I think that's, what we need to do here is we need to get all of these Americans that are obsessed with Ted Lasso, who are just buying up British teams, and go buy a French.
Couple French ones.
Yeah, buy a French team.
Okay.
Toulouse. Mm-hmm. Is actually owned by the Moneyball guy, Billy Bean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, his kind of, I don't know what you call it. They do Moneyball with like data-driven sports.
Yeah.
And they have brought Toulouse from the second or third tier of France to now they're in Ligue 1.
Oh, okay, no, I didn't know that.
Ligue 1 is not a bad league. It's just it's a wild league. It's kind of like watching like NCAA basketball.
Yeah,
versus...
I usually watch PSG games.
Yeah.
And it's not, I'm not watching it like, oh, like this is terrible. It's really the stark difference when PSG I'm watching the PSG match because I want to see what Neymar's going to do. I want to see what Messi's going to do. And there's always like a great highlight and Mbappe just absolutely burning defenders and stuff like that. And then all their superpowers that work in Ligue 1 don't work in Champions League. And then as soon as, Alphonso Davies is marking Mbappe, it's like, oh, well, that speed doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah,
because
it
completely cancels it out because I'm fast or faster than you. And so that's like the shame because PSG, I mean, they got to the final and they lost to, who did they lose to, Bayern? In the final?
In the final few years.
And that was like the COVID year where they only did one leg stuff like that. And they just, like, even bringing Messi in, it's just the team is not better. They just have, so many flaws in just sort of how they play. But you only really see it in Champions League.
But I think this is like a thing where people are only saying this about Ligue 1, but it's pretty true across every other European league besides Germany, Spain, and England.
Yeah.
Where it's like you don't see Italian leagues making it to the finals very often. You haven't seen a Dutch team do really anything besides Europa League for a decade.
Yeah.
There's a lot of leagues in Belgium, the Jupiler League, you know,
the Turkish league,
the Turks, the Greeks, all of these leagues are involved in this same system.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're not making it. And there's money there. I mean, obviously less and less, but like nobody ever says this about the Dutch.
Nobody spent the money PSG has spent.
That's true.
That's why they should be under more scrutiny. And the expectation should be a little bit higher because they literally signed the some of the greatest footballers in the world.
But then you look at like Juventus, like Juve.
Yeah, I mean,
Pogba. I mean, they're.
I mean, Juve doesn't have the money PSG does.
No, because they got penalized.
It's just I think, look, because they're trying to. You know, people would accuse them of like they're trying to buy the Champions League trophy.
Yeah.
And so they get to be, you know, made fun of a little bit more.
They're the Lakers of
they're the Dallas Cowboys. I feel like more just always going for it, but just coming up like a little bit.
You said the Mavericks?
Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just, you know, it doesn't, you are not going to win just because you buy the right players. I think, you know, we're learning that.
Right, right.
Look at Chelsea. Sorry.
No, you're right. You're 100% right. It takes all the time.
So the upcoming matches will obviously be tomorrow. We're recording this Monday, March 13th. So Porto is going to be playing Inter Milan and Man City against Leipzig. And then on Wednesday, we have the
Liverpool Real and Napoli. Liverpool Real.
I think Napoli. This is Napoli's.
I wouldn't be surprised if Napoli wins the whole thing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They
look
so good,
remarkable. But you know, I think in these competitions, you have to kind of favor the people who've just been there before. And Real Madrid, who doesn't matter how they sort of look in La Liga, and they don't look like they're going to win that. But something happens in Champions League where they just.
I will be disappointed. I will be disappointed if it's a Real City final. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be disappointed because in that instance, I'd be like, oh, maybe Manchester City can get it.
It's going to be good football no matter what. But it's like...
But can Pep get out of his own way and get out of his own head and try to actually win this competition, which is...
Because that's his trophy that he's waiting on, right?
Right. Give Arsenal the title. Win this one. Do your best, bro. Focus on this. All right. Let's wrap up here. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Shout out to Andy Haynes for coming through.
Sorry, everybody, for making... This was all my fault. I slept in. I apologize to Christian and the team. I do not apologize to Alexis. And,
he doesn't deserve one.
He's in London right now, probably getting special tickets to go to all the games I want to go to. Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime, dude.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely crushed it. I'm Andy Haynes. I am Andy. Yeah, and then
the Haynes. Conjunction.
You're right.
I'm Andy Haynes.
Follow me on Instagram, on Twitter. Is Twitter the same?
Yeah. But Instagram's where I do most of my damage.
But again, go watch them in whatever city.
Yeah, come to Denver if you're in Denver at the end of the month.
We got some Colorado Rapids fans.
Trying to sell that one out. So.
Sweet. Comedy Works?
Comedy Works South.
Okay.
They put me in the suburbs. Whatever.
All right.
Get down there. You guys have cars.
But a great comedy scene out in Denver. I've done a couple shows there. They're all super fun. So go follow Andy on Instagram. Go again, hilarious. You can see some of his stand up on there. Genuinely one of my fave comics. Super super funny. And go check him out if he is in your city.
Thanks, man.
No doubt, man. And man, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans everywhere. I don't know who's on the screen behind me.
Laboratory Show, the big bosses.
Okay, let's go.
El Jefe.
We figured try something different.
Yeah, just have a cross program.
Have something on back there. Follow us at Soccer Cooligans everywhere on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Follow
download
me.
The podcast. Download.
Download the podcast and leave a review. I'll pull it up tomorrow, but we got a bunch of funny reviews and stuff.
For sure.
That we had. And follow me at Chris Polanco on Twitter and at Christian_Polanco on Instagram. All right, everybody. Body, y'all are the absolute best. Andy Haynes crushing it per usual.
Thank you, bro.
We will see you tomorrow. We have Alexis, again, not available this week because CBS has his schedule kind of crazy. But Alexis will be back next week. I promise. That's what he promised us.
So, if not, the bat's coming out.
Exactly. If not, Andy Haynes will be back.
Yeah, if you need a gunner to sit here and be loud and say unverifiable data, I'll be here.
Bro, that is literally like when we put out the LinkedIn, you know, job requirements. You said it exactly. Just we don't need any data that can be verified. We need loud. We just need the opinions to be loud.
Yeah, and if you like, I can't talk about pizza, but I'll loudly talk about ice cream. How
there
about
we
that?
Go.
There we go. Perfect.
We'll take it. We'll take it. All right. We'll see you tomorrow. Yes, and like I said, Alexis will be back next week, but we have a special guest co-host for tomorrow. And if you love MLS, you're gonna want to tune in tomorrow. So we'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Peace.